You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Vineyard Theater in New York City, this is Theater Uncorked, where Vineyard artists come together to talk about the process of bringing new works to the stage. I'm your host, Eric Pargotch. For episode 5, we are joined by Obie Award-winning playwright David Cale in conversation with Tony Award-nominated director Lee Silverman. David Cale, a celebrated writer of solo works, typically performs his own pieces. But for his one-man show, Harry Clark, he began to think he was writing it for someone other than himself. When the Vineyard cast Tony Award winner Billy Crudup in the part, that instinct was confirmed. And with his dream director Lee Silverman at the helm, Cale was thrilled to watch for the first time as a solo piece he had written came together without him on stage. David's solo works include the Obie Award-winning Lillian, A Likely Story, the Bessie Award-winning Deep in a Dream of You, Smooch Music, and The Red Throats. His work has been presented throughout the U.S., and his monologues have been featured on public radio's This American Life and NPR's The Next Big Thing, for which he was a regular contributor. He composed the songs for 600 Highwaymen's Employee of the Year, which received a Bessie Award nomination. He's also written lyrics for songs sung by artists including Elvis Costello, Debbie Harry, and Jimmy Scott. As an actor, he has appeared in television's The Good Wife and in the films The Slaughter Rule, Two Lovers, and Pollock. Lee Silverman is one of the theater's most in-demand directors. She made her Broadway debut in 2006 with Lisa Crohn's Well. She later went on to direct David Henry Hwang's Chinglish on Broadway and garnered a Tony Award nomination for directing the Broadway musical Violet in 2014. Off-Broadway, she is known for directing world premiere works at theaters like The New Group, Encores, Roundabout, The Public Theater, Club Thumb, MCC, Second Stage, Signature Theater, Playwrights Horizons, and MTC. Those productions garnered 2 Obie Awards and a Lucille Lortel nomination. Regionally, she's directed at the Williamstown Theater Festival, La Jolla Playhouse, Two Rivers Theater, Berkeley Rep, and Center Theater Group, where she will be directing the upcoming Soft Power by Janine Tesori and David Henry Hwang. We are excited the two could join us during Tech of Harry Clark, which The Vineyard is producing in association with Audible. After The Vineyard's staged run of the play closes, Audible will record and produce Billy Crudup's performance of Harry Clark as an audio play, available to Audible members in early 2018. And now, this is David Cale and Lee Silverman in Theater Uncorked at The Vineyard.
How did we meet?
I was a crazy fan. I sort of stalked you a little bit, right?
No.
How did we meet?
I think I stalked you.
I don't know.
I don't know how we met.
I don't know how we met either. See, you said it was going to be an easy question.
That's
but it's
the
not
hardest
an easy question.
Through Lisa? Through the Five Lesbian Brothers?
Yeah, I feel like maybe we met like walking down Avenue A like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I was with Lisa. I think I was doing the Brothers show at PS122.
Yeah.
It was like sometime in that era. The early aughts.
Wow.
I don't know. I was a fan. I was a crazy fan. What can I say?
And I was a crazy fan. And now here we are. Crazy. We've started working on another show, and then Harry came along.
It's a very unusual experience to work with someone as a playwright who's mostly used to performing their own material.
Yeah.
It's a really special relationship. I feel very privileged. It's nice because he's not performing. He gets to sit with me and I can ask him questions. And it's been really great. It's such an amazing piece of writing. So it's just so nice to be able to talk about it.
It's also because I tried the script out. Well, tried it out. I performed it in Pittsburgh at the Andy Warhol Museum. So I have a sense of it a little bit from the inside. I mean, that version of it, but this is obviously very, very different. But I think it's sort of an unusual situation that also the writer has kind of experienced the script with people. But it's the first time I've done a show where I've... Well, it's the first time I've done a solo show where I've been watching somebody else perform it. And it's a very, very new experience for me. And I still can't quite believe that I'm watching Billy Crudup. I'm still in sort of a state of astonishment that he's the person that's playing Philip / Harry in this show. So it's really incredible. Miraculous is the word. With the Lee is and Billy are doing this and I'm watching it happen.
Well, he's amazing. So it's been really great. I think he's been an actor that I have admired for so long. And this piece is aerobic and gymnastic and soulful and weird and strange and funny. And he manages to so incredibly maneuver inside of the language and the world of this play. And it's been really fun to discover it with him. And also because he's not someone who does a lot of solo performance, if he's ever done it, I don't think he's ever done it. Yeah. So it feels really amazing to kind of watch someone who is so accomplished do something that they've never done and kind of edge out to the edge of the high diving board and throw themselves over the edge all the time, and it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I think it's an extremely difficult show to perform, and I realize that mostly I've been doing solo shows for 30 years, and this is like the 11th or 12th that I've written, and it's sort of, I mean, this is not a comment on it, the quality of the writing, but it's also written from the perspective of somebody who's done a lot of solo shows. So it's sort of advanced solo. And then Billy is jumping in, it being his, I think, I'm certain it's his first solo show. It's sort of diving in the deep end in a way, I think, for Billy.
I mean, I think that the amazing and difficult muscle of a solo show is that your scene partner is the audience, so they're very unreliable because they're different every night. Yeah. And for learning how to do that is really difficult because you can't do it but to do it, and there's a kind of electric baptism by fire situation that happens.
Yeah.
And I also think that the joy of a really amazing performance when there's only one person on stage is how clearly they make you feel like it's a cast of characters. And I think the more specific all those other people are, the more you feel like it's not a solo show. You feel like the play is actually full of other people and full of locations and scenery. And great theater does that. I mean, really, really great theater and great language and great writing puts you there. And then having someone who can so clearly and specifically just imagine a world that you can just see clearly, even though it's not there. And I think that's the task in the rehearsal has been to kind of find the sides of each of the worlds and the dimension of each of the characters, so that it feels like, in fact, he's inhabiting a very populated world up there, even though it's just him.
And it's also to have somebody that's such an extraordinary stage actor, and he's also an extraordinary movie actor, is because I'm so much influenced by movies, and some of these scenes are like movie scenes, and you have someone who is there's a kind of a movie, there's a movie, it's like a, it's a movie star thing going on with him too. He's got the magnetism and the nuance, then the little teeny details of a great movie actor, and he's a great stage actor. It's like you've got these two things happening at the same time in this show that really would love to have that, but how do you find somebody that can do that, has all these qualities, and he does. So I mean, it's like that's, we landed in the bullseye with, in terms of, he's so gifted in both areas, and this show really can draw on that, I think. So that's also very exciting to watch, because sometimes I've noticed you watch him think in a scene in the way that I watch someone on a screen think. It's riveting, and he manages to make that riveting on a stage. It's extraordinary. I can't say I've ever seen another actor do that. But he does it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, I've done a few of these solo shows now, and I feel like universally people feel like it is the hardest thing they've ever done. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that are really hard about solo shows. One is that the audience is different every night, so the stimulus that you're getting is different every night. The other is that it's, you know, unlike in a play where you're getting, you're creating drama and conflict from the other actors on stage, and you're able to find impulses new and fresh because you're operating off of that other person or people. And I think in a solo show, you're manufacturing all of it, and the drama of the evening, the theater of the evening, is solely being manufactured by you. You're bringing the audience to you. You're letting them see you. It requires a tremendous amount of courage and also vulnerability to really sit in a room with a group of people and talk to them for you know, whatever it is, an hour and 15 minutes, and to really feel entitled to their attention and to tell them this story that that has to move through you into them in a way that holds them. So I think it's a tremendously difficult skill, and they're hard to rehearse because it's you know, it's just like him and us in the room. We're just like, okay, you want to do it? Okay, good. You know, like there's sort of a way in which we are his audience, and until the real audience steps in. So I feel like we're frequently as we're working through the play and rehearsal, it's a deep investigative process, and then like our job is to behave like an audience would behave. Mm-hmm. And to give him that energy back that an audience would give him.
I was always interested in trying to write a one-person thriller, or if it was possible to do a one-person show that had some tension in it that was more akin to a thriller, or had a thriller scenario. And I was also curious to sort of play with an audience's perception of me initially, that to if I suddenly did a show that said that I wasn't really English, that I was from the Midwest, but I could do a good English accent. I was sort of curious how that tilt would happen, how it would be sort of disorienting, I thought, in an interesting way. And then it sort of, the whole story evolved, and it's largely from my imagination and some experiences I've had are sort of woven in there. But and then I got to a point where I thought, I think somebody else should perform this show, and it was very intuitive and instinctive. And it was funny because on the second day with Billy, and this instinct came a few years ago, I was like, well, this is why you had this instinct. Look at this. it was largely from the imagination, like old school.
And he's not British.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is what could be clearer than this play to tell us. He's not British.
I'm not.
He's been lying. That's right. He's not who he says he is.
I'm not who I say. Maybe I'm not.
Exactly.
Maybe I'm not who I told him myself I was. That's more likely.
I love David's writing. I think he tells a story like nobody else. I think he's funny and sexy and surprising. And I felt very intrigued by the challenge of this piece. I think it's both a kind of a thriller and also a very I think honest look at somebody who's just trying to live in the world in a way that makes sense to them. And it just so happens that the way it makes sense to this character is inside of and through the lens of thrillers, which is how he's educated himself, and I think where he finds comfort, and you know, is a kind of in the noir style. And so it's like how to both incorporate that style into the piece itself and to have it live in a kind of tonal way in the play, but is also grounded in a real emotional truth. And that feels like a really interesting balance, and I'm interested in plays that walk precariously in between those different styles, and David Cale likes to walk precariously, so I'm with him.
I do like to walk precariously, that is true.
Have you ever worked at the Vineyard, David Cale?
I have never worked at the Vineyard before. Though I've tried.
Me too.
Tried over and over. No, I've been friends with Sarah for years.
I know.
Sarah Stern.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, Doug's cast me in a couple of movies.
So,
as an acteur.
Well, smart guy.
So this is our first time at the Vineyard.
Oh my God, I've just been banging on the door for 20 years.
I have too.
I can't believe this is our first time.
I know, I can't.
What's wrong with them?
They were playing hard to get.
I mean,
they were playing hard to get.
They were. We got them, David.
We got them.
I knew we'd do it in the end.
Well, that's it for Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard. Thank you so much to David Cale and Lee Silverman for joining us on the podcast. Theater Uncorked is produced and edited by me, Eric Pargotch, Vineyard Theater's Director of Communications and New Media, with help from the Vineyard's Associate Producer, Ali Sky Bennett, and Marketing Director, Melissa Pelkey. Thanks to the Vineyard's Artistic Directors, Douglas Abel and Sarah Stern, and our Managing Director, Suzanne Appel, along with the entire Vineyard staff. If you enjoyed this episode, do us a favor and rate and review us on iTunes. It helps spread the word. And last but not least, thanks to you for listening to Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.